You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Lift your hands and let us pray all over this place. Just lift your two hands to the Lord. Pray and ask God to speak to you. You've come into His presence. You must not go back the same. Lift your hands and say, Father, speak to me by your Spirit. By your Spirit. Lift your hands and pray, Father, speak to me today. May I hear a word from you. The Bible says that He spoke a word unto Jacob, and it lighted upon Israel. Therefore, you want to pray and say, let your word come into me, that I will turn into a shining light in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and pray, and ask the Lord to help you, and ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask that today your life will never be the same again, because you are here, that God should speak to you. Bando shatala balondere balabalaba. Ronde cabrando zim de lebra gusatala balabalaba. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We have to be here to hear your word and to be blessed by your word. I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice will be blessed, that they will be blessed by your Holy Spirit, be guided into your truth. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your law. May our lives never be the same again because we came. We bless you and thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your presence. And everybody shouted a very loud amen. Clap your hands together for Jesus. And you may please take your seats. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church? It's a blessing to be in church. Hallelujah. And this morning, I'm talking to you about work. It's our year of work, so I'm going to talk to you about work. It's a time to work. Hallelujah. And we thank God that we have a man of God that can declare such things for the year. You know, normally you are looking for a year of this, a year of that. But I think that we have a great revelation in, that's our year. That's right, the year of work. You know, so you'll be thinking about what work. Tell somebody it's work. Good works. Say good works. Look, sit well and get yourself ready. Tell somebody you've got to sit well and you've got to get yourself ready. Because God will speak to you. You know, God will speak to you by His word. So just get yourself ready and know that there's something that God will tell you if you are ready. Hallelujah. So on 31st night, by the grace of God, we had this great revelation about work. In fact, I'm excited. I was excited about that revelation because you must love work. Tell somebody you must love work. You see, many people don't, people hate work. That's my experience. For whatever reason or reasons, people don't like work. See, people they would love to enjoy. How many people would love to enjoy? You see, love enjoyment more than work. You see, I had to study this to know that no, we were taught wrong. So many people would love to enjoy, would love to have fun more than to work. You know, you would love to party like the Christmas. People don't want to come out of Christmas. You see them still in their uniform, their whatever uniform. After 1 week, it's like, why has Christmas come and gone too quickly? They want to still hold on to the season and just enjoy. You've not met people like that. You know, when people are already at work and getting themselves ready, planning for the year, they are still enjoying and thinking that it is still a season to just enjoy. But I want to just say that work is good. And work will help you to accomplish whatever God has for your life. Actually, the mentality, you see, we think that when you are working, you are suffering. I think a lot of people think working is a curse. Huh? You know, you think that it's a curse, like work. It's tiring. But actually, God actually gave us work. God instituted work. Hallelujah. I want to demystify that mystery or that idea that working is a curse. Actually, when you are working, it is a blessing. Work is a blessing. God gave work to man. So God gave work to man before the curse came into the world. Alright? So God actually gave man work to do before he said that you should eat. So if you read Genesis, it's in there. I mean, we are not going to go into that. But in Genesis, God gave them work to do. Then that's when he told them, after that, that he mentioned that they should. He gave man the task of tilling the ground. And he said man should keep the garden. Keeping the garden is tilling, working on it. Do you understand it? That's what, when God created man, that was before the curse. And so there's a lot in the Bible. That's not what I have points for you, but there's a lot more. So many things in the Bible that actually point to the fact that God instituted work. And God is a worker. Tell somebody, God is a worker. So if you are not a worker, if you are not a worker, you are not like God. You see, I'll show you something. Okay? The Bible says that God spent 6 days creating the world. Alright? And then on the seventh day, he rested. If we actually go by that, you see, if we actually go by that, that means that he used the whole of the first day to work. He used the whole of the second day to work. He used the whole, all the, if we actually calculate it that way, because that's what we know, that he actually rested on the seventh day. Look, is it in your Bible? What I'm saying, is it in your Bible? If it's not in your Bible, just lift up your hand and we'll look into your Bible and check out what is there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God actually worked for 6 days. So if you actually look at that, that's 1/7. Now calculate 1/7. That's resting for 1/7. Now, if you calculate 1/7 times 24 hours, you check out how many hours you're supposed to rest in a day. So that you understand how many hours you're actually supposed to. If we want to be like God. How many of you would like to be like God? Oh, now people don't want to be like God. Hey, so you want to be like who? You have to rest for like 4 hours. Four and something hours, right? Have you calculated it? Hey, you people, you need to do math in school or what? 1/7 times 24 is what? 4 point what? It's actually 3 points. So when we round it, it's about 4 hours. 3.43. So it's actually the case that we are supposed to rest. If we are to use the, you have to, let's say, rest in 24 hours. Well, that's what the Bible says. So that if we calculate the 3.43 throughout, you will get 1 day. And now, is it too complex? The way I'm discussing it's very simple. It's one of the simplest ways to understand mathematics. Because if you add 3.43, if you multiply it times 7, that will be, you'll get the 24 hours for 1 day. It's like the whole week. That's, you have also rested for 24 hours. So God worked more than he rested. So why is it that we rest more than we work? We are not like God. Tell somebody we are not like God. So we are changing this year. Tell somebody work is dignity. Yeah, when you are working, it brings you dignity. All right, you are a man of dignity when you are doing something. You see, when you are working, and this year, let's all have it. You know, let's expunge and take out from our minds the notion and the idea that working is a curse. Do you understand it? Take it out of your mind. You know. I'm just sharing. I'm sharing. Tell somebody I'm sharing. Yes, I'm sharing something. One of the things that I there was a point in my life I told myself that, look, hard work will not kill. You can hear it as a quote, but there's a day that quote should be a reality to you and you should take it in. I remember when I said no, long ago, I said no, hard work will not kill me. Don't sleep. You can be here. You've not slept for 24 hours. You won't die, but you've not tried it. You want to sleep for 12 hours. Anyway, let me go into the word. Are you there? Yes. You can be there for more than 24 hours and you can work. Mm-hmm. So, hard work will not kill you. Write it down. It will not kill you. You are just lazy. That's why you don't want to work hard. Hard work will not kill you. Working hard brings you dignity. You will be dignified by work. No work brings you shame. Do you understand it? You are doing nothing. There's nothing you are doing. It makes you look, you look funny. There's no shame. But when you are working, you have dignity. Huh? Your life is dignified with work. That's why you should find work to do. Don't worry. And just work and do it. The Bible says, "See thou a man who is diligent in his business. He shall not stand before mean men." Proverbs 22. 22. "See thou a man diligent in his business. He shall not stand before mean men. He shall stand before kings." Diligent. Diligent. Do you know diligent? Do you know what it means to be a diligent person? Look at that. A diligent person is a hard-working person, a studious person. That's the person. You want to stand before kings, but you are a lazy man. Lazy people don't stand before kings. That's somebody. Lazy people cannot be friends with kings and great people. Write it down. These are important quotes. If you are a lazy person, you cannot be with the great person. Look at our president who is almost whatever. You see, you may think that he's enjoying, but you should feel sad for him. I'm sure he has a lot of papers to go through. Even that one. Even to sign things. Because of my work, I have to sign a lot of things. There was a time I was signing. I said, hey, maybe that is why people like to take. I was signing. You see, you sign, the signature will be signed and your hand is hurting. Even to sign. So I'm saying that to stand before great people, you must be a hard worker, all right? Diligent. Can you give us other versions of Proverbs 22:29? We're going to work. Tell somebody, I'm going to work. Listen. Change your mind now. Now, especially young people, old people. You see, the wisdom that the old person has, or the older person. Older people are wise. Only that. At that time of their lives, they are not able to apply wisdom. They will be wise, but wisdom is how things are done. You must do it and bring success. Knowledge is knowing what to do. You see, when you say knowledge, they are different. You must understand the two. Tell somebody you must understand them. You must understand the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is there. What is there? What to do? What must you do? If you take the medication 3 times a day, it will stop. Or if you take the antibiotic 1 times 2 times 7, your infections will be cleared. That is knowledge. It is there. They will give you amoxiclav or ciprofloxacin or all those things. The doctor is here. If I'm not, whether he will lift as a bishop apophy, but he's here. So if I'm, yes, so that's knowledge. You see, knowledge is what must you do. A lot of people die for lack of knowledge. Do you understand it? Yeah. And wisdom is how. Now, how to get it done, how to actually do it is, how must I now do this thing? Or maybe the getting it done, the process to getting the results is the wisdom. Okay, so if you know everything and you don't know how to. So I'll say that wisdom is like programming it to get it to give you results. Do you get it? How to program the knowledge? Because the knowledge can be there. How do you program it such that you will get the results? How do you get it done and all that? The results will be there. That is wisdom. Wisdom is profitable. Tell somebody, the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 10, wisdom is profitable to direct. So if you don't find yourself taking steps of what you know, you are not wise. You know, but you are not wise. You are not wise, that's all. You understand it? Because you know, but you don't do it, so you don't get results. Are you there? Huh. So your ability to work. Do you understand it? Your ability to work and to get things done is important. I was saying that older people know things, but they know it at the end of their lives. We can't change so many things. You know, you can meet somebody who will tell you that, oh, I wish, you see, they are old. I've met older people, older people. They are old, grown-ups. I wish I had received counsel. But you see, when they were young, they said, oh, nobody should counsel me. I know everything. Do you understand it? But at the end of their lives, they get to see that if I had been counseled, because after life's experiences, you would realize that if you come back to that place where it's not working, now you get to accept that, child, if I had been advised and if I had taken the advice much earlier, I would have been much, I would have been better off, you'd have been blessed. Do you understand it? So, the young person, I was trying to differentiate the wisdom that you, the young person, should receive and the wisdom of the old person. You have time and the opportunity to change your mind and to accept this and to become a worker in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Accept it. Don't get to the end. Don't get to your wit end or your the end. I would even say the end of your life before you realize that you have wasted your life or you haven't done much. Yes. Because now you can easily... this guy said, do you know a hard-working man? It's a nice scripture. The Living Bible is nice. A hard-working man, that's diligent. You see, a hard-working man. Then he says that he shall be successful and stand before king. How many of you want to be successful? So you have to go back to this. So to be a successful person, you must be a hard-working person. You work hard, you work more hours. You work more hours. If somebody, you want to be successful, and somebody, everybody's working 8 hours. Why don't you try and then do 6 more hours? You'll be more successful than the person. Hello? Write it down. No, these are important. You see, when you are in a church and preaching is coming, don't write everything per se. You can't finish writing unless you use shorthands. Even the people who are learning shorthands, it's not easy for them. Write something that is jumping. It's to you, for you. Put it down for yourself because it's happening right before your eyes. Are you there? So may you receive wisdom. Say amen. Amen. Receive wisdom. Amen. Become a worker. Working is dignity. When you work, it brings you the dignity you are looking for. It's in work. It is in work. And so you should work. So don't accept the erroneous thinking that working is a curse. Working hard, we are like slaves. No, working is dignity. You do the right thing. Working, busy. You are busy doing that. Busy all the time. Number one. Work shall make me closer and closer to my Heavenly Father. Now, we are going to work this church. Now, it's a Sunday. We can take it in any form, but I'm preaching to you about working the things of God and working in church. Yes. Working and doing other things are important, but as a Christian, I'm preaching to you as a Christian. This is not a secular seminar, so I'm preaching to you as a Christian. Working makes me closer and closer to my Father. John chapter 15, verse 17. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. John 5. My Father works and I work. So when you are working, you are always moving. John chapter 5, verse 17. When the people who are close to God, they are workers. Because God is working. You cannot be idle and be close to God. Jesus Christ came into this world and he was not an idle person. He was always moving and he was always working. My Father is working, I'm also working. Why are you not working? Why are you not doing something? Why are you not doing something for God now? Why are you not a worker? That's the Father's work. You have to just, you see, there are things you have to just look and recognize that you are walking in error, all right? Because you can see what your Father is doing, and you are not doing the things that your Father is doing. There's something wrong. Recently, I was telling somebody, it's about my father, this, I said, look, you see, you are not even interested in your father's work. You are just interested in going to your father for money. Meanwhile, the time for that, when you are a little girl or a little boy, you wouldn't think much, but you are now a grown up. What can you do to your father? He will give you money, but you must be interested in his work. I've had to sometimes talk to and convince people and young folks about their father's work. The work that has blessed them, has bought shoes and bought phones for them. They despise it. You are not correct. It's like, what, you are taking your father to be a fool or what? The work that has bought you and paid your fees, be interested in it a little. That is what your father has done over the years and paid your fees, kept you. You are not interested as a son. You are not interested. What do you think? You are praying to God for what? For a husband. That's all you are interested in. So, look at the nearest sister who is not married. It is likely 70% of her head is filled with, I want a man to marry. Rather than, God, I want to work for you. Look at the nearest sister. What I'm saying is true. You'll be surprised. You think that they are lovers of whatever. You'll be surprised that's what they are looking for. You just want a person to marry. When they catch one, that is when you realize that they are not even coming to church. When they get one. Yes. Look, what I'm saying, any pastor who has been around for a while will know what I'm saying. If we look at the choir, you check out the number of people who are married and who sang, who are married and are singing. They are not here. They are married, so they are not singing. I said they are what? They are married, so they are no more singing. But when they, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. They are married, and therefore they are not singing. When they were not married, they were singing. Hey! Yes. Check it out. They are married. I've married a husband. I must go and prove my husband. I cannot come and sing. Hey! They are married. If you like, check out the disciples. Even the married ones that are singing, sometimes we have to wind them to camp. I will say it. Hey! And now, am I doing something wrong in the service? I just want to know. Maybe I've gone off so that I come back on track. Yes. Yes. You're not interested in the Father's work. You see, the Father's work is different from your work. You must be interested in your Father's work. One day, my dad was doing something. He really needed my help. He wanted my help. You see, he wanted my help. And I knew I could help. But I also knew that it will not work. Look, you see, I couldn't convince him that it will not work. But I wanted to believe, and I said that. So I was driving. I remember when I got to a place, and the Holy Spirit said, I should help, even if it will not. So I did it, and I took that. I said, even if it will not work, I would help him like as though it will work. And that's what I did. Yes, I did it, and it didn't work, but I know that I obeyed. I'm telling you. Yes. You see, the knowledge I have, do you know what I felt the Holy Spirit was telling me? The knowledge and the things that I could do to help him. He actually took me to school to know how to do all these things. He took me to school. He was very interested in my education. My father befriended all my teachers. He was friends with all my teachers. He even became a PTA chairman just because I was in the school. As a point. It's not that he wanted to be a PTA. No. He became the PTA chairman at a point because the child is in the school. Yes. Knew all my teachers. I can remember my teachers from primary, JHS, to secondary school. Hey! Yes. He tells them what they should do to me. Give me assignment. He's going to my English teacher. Made my English teacher give me special assignment. You won't believe it. In secondary school. I'm just saying that then it is time to just give him a little help. And you won't do it. You won't be close to him. That we are talking about God here. I'm talking about God. God's work is important. And that is why in John chapter 5 verse 30, he says that John 5 30 says, as I hear, I that judge. You see, to hear from God, if I can come. To hear from him, you must be close to him. That's 5:30, the same 5:30. Put it up. You know, Jesus Christ came, but he's talking about the fact that he hears things. So there are things that there are things that he did. So Jesus is wise. Yes, he was wise because he was close to God to hear in the moment, to give answers. Suddenly he's somewhere, they say that we need to pay tax. What did he hear in that moment from heaven that made him say, go and catch a fish? Huh? Go closer. It means that they were even close to the sea. Because he was not near a bank. Maybe if he was close to a bank, maybe God would have spoken to him. But as he was close to the water, he said, oh, the bank, there's no bank here. Jesus never gave an excuse. But because as I hear, I doubt there. So he was always hearing. Your ability to be close to God will determine how much you hear from him. Your hearing from God is about your closeness. Yes, if you are not close, you can't hear from him. You must be close for him to whisper things to you on a daily basis. You see, on your life's journey, the many things you have to do. You may know that you have to do this, but the everyday instructions, this is it. You see, I can't do anything. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, I judge. Okay, but you see, look at that. Just as I hear, I judge. So it is your daily hearing that will make you now navigate into the place that God has given to you. Do you understand it? So when you are a worker, you are close to God. If you are a Christian and you are not a worker, you are not close to God. You can't get close to God. You cannot just sing in the house and just think you are close to God by singing. God wants workers. God is a worker, so God wants workers. May you become a worker in church. Now, I'm speaking to you so that you become a worker. Yes, closeness to God. I don't know how many of you want to be close to God. Be close to him. It is to be close. So you are doing something. You are close to him. Then he will whisper things to you. And he will tell you things. You see, then you take a turn and then you stop and you turn back. That's it. Make a stop. You suddenly turn back and say, no, I feel that I must turn back. Then that's how it is. But you must be close to God. Amen? Thank you. How many of you want to be close to God? Become a worker in church. It's one of the ways to get closer to God. Because you will always have to pray. You will always have to read your Bible. You will always have to do something. You know, if you are somebody who is into soul winning, following up sheep, human beings. Okay, human beings are people Jesus came to die for. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says that, now take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock. He says, take heed, first of all, take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Of which people? The flock that he purchased with his blood. You get it? The overseers. So God makes you overseers of people. So the Holy Ghost must be involved in your life for you to shepherd people. It is not a natural work. It's a Holy Ghost work. So the moment you are into people, into bringing people to church, into following up and to praying for people, it's a Holy Ghost work. Now, those of you who shy away from this work, you are shying away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you to help you work the works that he has been sent to do. That's it. I hope you understand it.
Yeah.
You understand it? Look at that. So, how many of you want to get close to God? Work is one of the ways to get closer to God. So when certain things are taking you away from, you know, a lot of you, maybe school takes you completely away from church and from the work of God. Or work, your secular work, and anything that you do. Listen, find a way, make a way. You must make a way and add the work of God to your work. You must work. Tell somebody, I must work to get closer to God. I must be a worker. Work to be close to God. Even me, the people who are close to me, they are people who are working. Not that I don't want to be, because I am basically working all the time. So the people who are working are the people who will be around me all the time. I mean, all the time. So if I need to, if you find me especially spending time with some people, it's because they are working. Not that I intentionally do it, because what I'm doing, they are doing the same thing. They will need clarifications from me. I have to call them. So we are always talking. Do you understand that? There are serious things we are doing. So when you don't have that disposition, you are put on the back burner. Do you understand it? It's not intentional. It's not. It is just that you will need. I mean, if there's something pressing for this morning's service, and I have to see you, and I have to, the service is ongoing, who will I see first? you need a prayer. You just need a prayer because you had a bad dream. You see, but you are not a worker. I've seen you. But I've seen some, and it's urgent. I've seen someone who needs me. But when I see the person, I know that this person needs something for the church service. Maybe I've already even said, do this for me. But when I come, then I see the two of you. Who will I speak to first? You, who will you speak to first? I'm just asking you so that it wouldn't be like, who will you talk to first? Mr. Bentum is a CEO. Okay, now, which people, when you get to the office and you see people standing around and you see your managing director, all right, like he comes. The person who handles a lot of the contracts and the cash, the one brings in cash. And there's a face, somebody who's, and the man is coming. You can see the two of them. Who will you talk to first?
Mostly I talk to my general manager, my operations manager.
Listen to somebody who's a worker. Who is a businessman who has more than 100 people who he has employed? Yes.
So those are the people I speak to first.
First? In fact, do you understand first?
In the day, every time, even midnight.
Do you understand it? Yes. That's how it is. Yes. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Charlie, I want a casting war. Don't a honor war. I mean, you there, you have come. Maybe you are even looking for money. Maybe you have to pay your school fees or something. He will help you, but Charlie, where the door is, he has to go there first. Yes. That's the way to the people who don't work. You get further and further away from God. And you become a worker for God this year. Are you there? Number two, I have a lot of things to share with you, but I also don't want to preach for long. So pray for me. Work shall be my satisfaction and happiness. Satisfaction. Real satisfaction comes from work. You know, if you are somebody who likes to rest all the time, you know, a lot of rest you get tired. One day, I had to be somewhere for, actually I remember very well because I was in South Africa. I was actually not doing much. I was working, doing some few things, but it was a short period. And look, after like 3 days, I was tired. Is he tired of not doing so much work, the work? It's a boring life. There's no satisfaction in just sleeping and watching movies. Waking up and all that. There's no satisfaction. You can't be. If you are a person who loves, who understands work, you know that work brings satisfaction. Now, today, I want to tell you something. That the reason why you are not satiated and you are not satisfied is because you are not a worker. So you find yourself not happy. You find yourself not satisfied because you are not into work. You are a Christian who is not satisfied because you are not into work. Work brings satisfaction. Hallelujah. Jesus said, John chapter 4. John has a lot of these. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, consider, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. My meat. You see, the meat is the nice part of the meal. Charlie, no, but in Africa, and there's some small stew on it. And some small meat. It's more meat. So they have a big spoon to eat a lot of the. And a lot of people don't even like eating with fork. It's like somebody was recently asking me, do I get satisfied? I said, oh, no, I don't eat rice with spoon. It's not good. I don't like it. I don't eat. I will not. It's like the last option. You see, if it is, it's like it should be very critical for me. They said, do you get satisfied when you ask with fork? But where does the food go to? Do you understand it? But listen, meat is the nice part of the meal. My meat, Jesus Christ was hungry. The disciples were together. And Jesus Christ was sitting down. And this is the woman at the well, the story of the woman at the well. Do you understand it? So the disciples, they went away to just go and then get food. So Jesus was sitting down. Resting. You see, a man of God needs to rest. So they knew it. And said that he's resting. He needs to eat. Because that means that Jesus ate You know, when the man of God has to eat, you don't want him to eat because he's a man of God. He should only pray for you. He shouldn't sleep. He doesn't need to. So that's why you call at any time. He doesn't need to eat. That's why when he has to eat, you want to see him now, although he has to eat. Mercy. So they knew this. And then they went to get food. But when, in their absence, this woman came. The Samaritan woman came. And then Jesus engaged her. And the Bible says that she left her water pot. She went into the city and proclaimed and told the story about what Jesus has done for her. Do you understand it? Now, when the disciples came and they said that, the way he was talking, they were surprised. No, go back up the scripture you gave. And they were surprised. The woman left her. Come and see a man. Go down to 30. Look at that. And they went out to the city and they came unto him. 31. Give us a lot from 30, okay? It will help you a lot. And the disciples, the Bible says that, 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. When they've come, they didn't know what had happened. And so they have brought food. Now, when they gave him the food, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish it. My meat. The meat. What makes me happy. What brings me satisfaction is to work. Actually, work brings me happiness. More than whatever. It is good to eat, but work brings me happiness more. Say work is meat. Satisfaction. Many of you are not satisfied because you don't work. You are not workers. You have not even been introduced to serious working, like working as a serious person. Having your life compacted such that all the unnecessary airs. Your compaction, when you do compaction, it is to take out air so that you can cast. When you compact the ground, it is just to siphon the air out of the ground. So you compact. Your life is full of air. You have not compacted your life with work. So if I ask you, your schedules for tomorrow, you don't have a schedule for tomorrow. There's nothing on your table. Minimo. That's your life. You don't, the time, you see, You have that opportunity. 24 hours will be given to you tomorrow. What will you do with it? You don't have any plan for it. You don't. There is no plan. And that's a simple way to know that you don't know work. 24 hours is coming. What plans do you have for 24 hours? Others are dead. You are alive. What will you do with it? I'll go to work. 24 hours, are you going to work? What will you do? Do you understand it? You see somebody who's having, from this time to this, I'm doing this. From this time to this, I'm doing this. From this time to this time, I'm doing this. That's a real worker. Do you understand? You planned your life such that it is full of fruitful activities because it brings you satisfaction. Real satisfaction. Are you there? The way I'm good, this message, I can be in it for a long time. But I have to move on. How many of you want real satisfaction? My meat. Listen, that's Jesus Christ. My meat. What makes me happy is to work. You are in church, you do nothing. You come, you do nothing. You see, many Christians do nothing in church. They do nothing. But you see, the church is not, it is not an automatic environment that gets everything done by itself. Work is generated. Work, if we don't generate work here, that means that this place will not get workers who mop the floor. If we don't generate and initiate work, we will not get people to arrange the chairs. We will not get people to do the sound. We will not get people to play the music, even to sing, to get the people to sing. You don't assume that, you see, when you put the time on the wall, the screen, singers are meeting at, what time do they meet? Like today, when do you want to meet today? 1:30, you see. But you see, there are times that I see Dr. Asare when he comes, he's not, he's in his car. Although the people know that they must sing on Sunday, he's in his car calling them to come and say, although they know they must sing. He's calling, he'll be standing there calling everyone, where are you? Although they know already that they must sing. Of course, it's a Sunday. Yes, that is work. It is generated. It is initiated. And that is what is bringing satisfaction. Real satisfaction comes from that. Otherwise, there's nothing to do. And there's nothing. Many things will not be done. So the church and the work that is done here, they are all intentional things that are done. And that must bring you joy. So when we have, like, mobile people coming to church, if you see a large group of people like this, today, it must be worked on. You cannot just sit down and assume that people know that they must come. And they will come. Are you a child? Look at your neighbor and ask, are you a child? Were you born yesterday or what? Why do you think like that? Even you yourself who is sitting here, didn't you this morning, you didn't feel like coming. Somebody came to call you. So why are you thinking like that? So that's what I'm saying, that work is something that is generated and it is something that should make you happy. So when you are in this church or you are in church and you do nothing, you just go and come, you do nothing, you are not going to receive real satisfaction. May you be satisfied. Amen. May God bring you real satisfaction. Amen. Yeah, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the one we are following. The Bible says, that my meat. The reason why many people are not happy, you don't know that your unhappiness is also as a result of your not working in church. You have nothing you do for God. Are you there? Yes. Your life is so empty that you have a lot of time to worry over nothing or to think about your problems. But if you have packed your life with activities for God, you have little time. The problems may be there, but there's little time to work on worrying over the problems. Or to think about the problems. Is that you are going to worry yourselves over nothing. But if you have 24 hours and you use 12 hours worrying, and then you have somebody with the same problem, but it's working because of the work, the mind goes off the problem for a long time. So he has just 1 hour being the day to worry. Who is likely to have depression? A lot of people are depressed because they think too much, like marital problems. Some of you are just, you think that, you think your wife will change. Your wife will not change. So you are praying that your wife will become something else. The man or the, that's how it's going to be. Your husband will not change. And you have made it your lifetime goal to change a human. You are going to change a human being. You. It's God who can change him. A man. By this time. You are chasing the wind. Find something that will take your mind off the issues. The man doesn't give you money. You are going to cry over this for the rest of your life, that your husband does not give you chop money. Why don't you find work to do to get chop money yourself? You get blood pressure, you get diabetes, you combine, or you die early, you go and marry somebody else. What is this? And I Reverend Eric, what I'm saying, is it not true? Why are you worrying yourself? He doesn't give you chop money. He gives you 200 cedis. You say you need 500. Why don't you find something with your time to earn the 300 extra money? Than to sit down thinking, my husband, he doesn't say, me worry, no mommy pin, capri and put that, oh mama shay, bronya ba, you pia, you kunum, bronya bay, mena kufuny na one kunum, I'm on scam, what's your shoes? Manko says it, my friend, it will not change. It will not change. I'm not saying that the husband should be like that, but I'm just saying that. So what if the story doesn't change? Are you going to live your life thinking about a shoe that your husband should buy for you? Buy one for yourself. Huh? Find something to do. Tell somebody, get a life. Get a life. Hello? I don't know. Those are the back. I don't know whether you are with us. I think they don't understand. Those are the back. They don't understand the message. You know, Emmanuel Sam, Zion, we have to work on some speakers at the back. I think they are not happy that the speakers are in front. So we should get some speakers that go from here to the back so that they will also know that We mind them. Although they hear, they still don't like the fact that the speakers are only coming from the front. Are you there? I'll give you one more. I had 6 points, but I'll give you one more. And then I'll tell you something else. And that will be done. What do you think? Number three. Work for the right things. 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 Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 27, give us NASB Bible. You know why I want us to look? You see, we say, look, you write and you look. The Bible is a place you must be going into all the time. The Bible is something like the problem of your life. You should be looking for solutions. That's why you will always... How many of you have daily issues? Like let's say that maybe yesterday it was malaria, but you are healed. And now you have headaches. It's a type of problem. Every day you have a migraine headache. It's consistent. Look, so it's a type of healing you must also get. So you look for a scripture to squash and to blast this problem also. Something. So you are always looking for God's word that will solve a problem in your life. Do you understand it?
Yeah.
So do not work for food which perishes. Listen, this is the Bible. This is the Bible. This is Jesus talking. Listen, this one, dear, this is a big one. Do not work for food which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. Don't work for food that perishes. Don't work for food, you know. This is John chapter 6. And he rather gives us a solution in Matthew chapter 6. Don't work for food that perishes. All your life is to work for food. I mean, you're working to get a car. You're working to get a shoe that perishes. You're working to get a phone that perishes. You're working to do what? Listen to me. There is counsel for you. I'm not saying don't work, but like your life should not be dedicated to this. As he says, don't do that. Don't work for that. But he says, but which endures, which perishes, but for food, which endures to eternal life. There are certain things that transcends this earth and the reality of this life and the timelines. You see, the times that we are in is part of time. You know, it's your life. The unit of your life is time, okay? The unit of everybody's life is time. So if we say you are 20 years old, it's divided into time. You are born 5 minutes after you were born, 1 hour after you are born, 24 hours after you were born, 1 month. That's what we celebrate, 1 week after. So it's all in units. The unit of your life is time. Okay, so your life is actually time being spent or time being used well. So your life on earth is like a moment in the parenthesis, it's like a parenthesis or bracket. You could say bracket. In it, the eternity you spend, your life, because you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in you, makes you eternal. Okay? So that means that your life here on earth is just a portion of the complete or the total life you have. Your life will be eternal either in heaven or in hell. But here on earth is just a portion. So 70 years or 60 years. Or 90 years. It's just a portion of it. You will spend, even if you die at the age of 20, you are going to live somewhere in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. So there are things you do that goes beyond this life. If you work for a shoe cannot go. That's why we don't bury people with their cars and all that. You can't take it into eternity. So that's what he's saying. When somebody is dying or is dead and is lying down in a coffin, you cannot even tell the food that the person has been eating all his life. That's why he's telling you that, look, when that time comes, you will realize that those things didn't matter. What you spent all your life for, it doesn't matter. Whether you chew chickens, like the Bible says that there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen. And he fed sumptuously. Yes, he fed sumptuously. He ate very well. That's what I was talking about. That he ate very well. But you see, when he died, the Bible didn't talk about his food. The Bible says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So it's not about the food you eat. We don't know what you ate this morning, whether you took Horlicks, British breakfast, baked beans with sausages, fried egg, what? Bacon. With what? Whatever. You've taken all these, then you eat. I mean, some people, you'll be surprised. Somebody has done fufu this morning. You cry. I mean, cry. No. Look, I was with somebody recently, construction, because so. And if that, when we suggest food, like we were somewhere doing construction, we go, when you suggest food, he'll be smiling. Later, he said that Bishop, yeah, when we finished, he went to find Etubi somewhere. In the morning, though. So, because those things don't work for him. He went to find a place in a city, a town that he's also a stranger in the town. Like, we're all strangers. But he was able to find a place they are doing Etu in the morning. And so, that he's fine, cry. He said, oh, I'm fine. So those things, tea, those, it doesn't work for him. No, they don't work for him. Are you understand what I'm saying? Yes. But I'm saying that food perishes. But when you work for God, it's eternal. The Bible says that for their works do follow them. Revelations. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. Huh? Why? Because the works they do, your work, they work. Look at that, Revelation chapter 14. Huh? They labor in the Lord. Their works do follow them. What they do, their works do follow them. So what? Your food will not follow you. That's why I say don't work for food. Because your food will not follow you. What you're wearing will not follow you. It's your works that will follow you. So what works are you involved in that is meant to follow you? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58, the Bible says that be steadfast. Be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hey, my brother, are you understanding the scriptures? Are you understanding the need for you to work for things that are eternal and to have a lot of your works done, and you have to clock in a lot in that aspect of life, eternity? It's not in vain. You see, the choir has not still sang this song. You people, hey, why? A song from the day I came to Tekwa, they are mentioned that sing this song as the one song they have not sung. They've not done it for how many years? 6 years, they've never done it. I've called it and I've instructed. It's like, they are saying, we won't do it. They've told me this. That's it. It's not true, but you are here. You've heard me say it a lot of times in preaching, right? In preaching and in private, I've said all. That's exactly what they've not done. They've sang other songs. They are enjoying themselves. They don't want me to enjoy the songs that I like. For as much as you know that your work and your labor is not in vain. That's why this year, everybody here should determine that you will work. Look, you will work in church. You will do something. When I say work in church, work. You should be a worker. Work will require time. It will take money from you. It will take your energy. That is working. It has timelines. You must have times. Time from this time to this. I'm working. This is it. I'm working in church. That's why you go to work from 8 to whatever, 5:30. But this was, I'm working in church. I must go. I have a meet. I have my bus. I have to go for an outreach from this time to this time. That is work. The fact that you cannot even plan and talk about your outreach times, it means you are not working. You are not a serious worker when you talk about outreaches. It should be consistent. I mean, can you imagine you do outreach once every 3 months? Which worker, which job will take you once every 3 months? I mean, which employer? Amen. Yes. So work. Now, I'm closing with this. All right, I'm closing with this. I told you I didn't want to preach. You didn't pray for me, so I have gone.
So I told you to pray for me so that I don't preach for long, but I've crossed it, so I want to show you something.
Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. Now the Bible says that now the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom now thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and that they may bear the burden with thee. So give you 17. Give us 17. Add the 17. It says that I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon them, that they bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not alone. Thou bear it not thyself alone. Now, when it comes to church work, sometimes it is skewed towards some people. Some few people work. And a lot of people are spectators and, you know, backbenchers. You know, do you know backbenchers? Do you know a backbencher or those on the bench? We have in the British Parliament, we have the backbenchers. And then we have the real people. So we have those that are in power. So they have about 650 MPs in the British system, the Parliament. And out of the 650 MPs that are elected, I think they are the elected MPs, 650. Just about 100 and something are working MPs that are in government. So not every MP is in the government. The government are the working people. So the rest, they are called backbenchers. So you don't see more of them, you don't hear more. But there are actually 650 of them. Do you understand it? This is just information. Add it to the things that you know. May you not be a backbencher in the church. Yes, it's a backbencher. You are on the bench. You are on the bench. You will not be on the bench. Moses was working in the church. Now I'm ending. Moses was working in the church. And the Bible says that the burden was a lot. The burden of taking care of people. The burden of soul winning. The burden of doing something. I've told you, don't just work for anything. Don't work for things that perish. Work for God. Do something in church. This year you are going to work in church. You're going to do something. All of us are going to get involved. How many of you are going to get involved? Sit up. Brother. The people there, sit up. Sit up. Hallelujah. I'm closing. But listen, you will not be a backbencher, but you'll be a worker. You'll be a worker. The Bible said there was a burden. The burden of the people. The burden of the city. The burden of soul winning. The burden of shepherding. You know, the greatest burden is the burden of shepherding. You win a soul, the soul must be kept. What is shepherding? Shepherding is the art of caring and loving people. Care for them. Human beings need care and love. You need to care for them. Care for them. Care for their needs. Pray for them. Teach them to read their Bible. Teach them to be in church. Teach them and care for them. And then you are also involved. Not just that. As a carer of God's people, you care for a sheep. You care about their whatever they are going through. You care about their education. You care about their job. They don't have a job. You'll be concerned. You pray with the person. You try. You look for someone. Can you get me a job for this person? You do all that. And that is shepherding. And that burden, it's not going to be on some few people. It's going to be on all of us. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. I'm taking us somewhere. I'm ending on that note. I'll continue soon. But listen, we are all going to move into this work. You know, do you know where we got to? Where we got to, where Moses came here and God was telling him this. Go to Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Moses' father-in-law. Okay, Exodus chapter 18, verse 30. Moses is to about 17 or 19. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. This was when his father-in-law came in. He sat to judge the people. Okay, about 3 million people. Do you understand it? 3 million people. Moses is the only judge. Every problem comes to the person. Hey, you know, you don't understand because you have not been involved with taking care of people. And you'll understand what it means that every call comes to you. Every problem comes to you. It's not a simple thing. Okay? So that's why you must understand this. And he says that he judged the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning unto evening. Continue. And Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people. Judge him. He was supposed to judge. And this is important. Because it's important that we come into your matters.
There are people who don't like it. Oh, well, pastors do whatever. Please, we are following the Bible. Moses was sitting. The people had problems. They would go to Moses. Because Moses' guide and Moses' help was important. Moses' voice and guidance was important. You don't tell that's or not. You don't need whatever. You just need the word. Yes, you have. They have the law and everything. They have whatever. But you need, sometimes you need guidance. Do you understand it? So look at it. And the Bible says that, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? What are you doing? Why have you made all these people be here like this? From morning to evening. Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by from morning unto evening. Why? Why are you there alone doing this? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the status of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said, listen to this. Listen to this is the part. Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Tell somebody, the thing that thou doest is not good. It is not good. It's bad. Very bad. He says, thou wilt surely weary away both thou and these people. You kill yourself and you kill the people. You're going to weary them. Huh? For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel and God shall be with thee. Counsel. With wise counsel you make war. You receive counsel, you make war. Hallelujah. Listen to this. And God shall be with thee. For the people to God word. And thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Continue. Continue. And thou shalt teach them the ordinances of the law of God. Moreover, thou shalt not provide the people. Blah, blah, blah. Continue. So this is the counsel. Then he gave him that counsel that he should take people, he should train them, and they should all work. So that important matters, heavy duty matters will come to him. That's the pattern. That's the pattern of the church. That's the church. That's the early church. That's the Moses church. That's the church in the wilderness. This church is called the church in the wilderness. And this is what, this is our year of work. I'm introducing this church to work. Of course, we have been working, but we are going to work again. If we have been working and then it's our year of work, we must work. We must only work. So we are going to work. Tell somebody we are going to work. And we are going to start out now with, you see, something that everybody can be involved in. Everybody. Which we have been doing, but some people have not been involved in a way. You see, we work with basenters. Okay, what is a basenter? What's a basenter? Well, Michael, what is a basenter? I just want to know, what's a basenter? Let me know. How many of you have heard of basenter before? I told you I'm ending up because I'm just introducing it to you. We'll continue.
Basenter is a minimum of 8 people that you can.
You bus them. It's a place that we bus people from. I mean, basically, we don't even add that one for now. A basenter is a place that a bus comes from. That's it. That is the definition of a basenter. Of course, you care for them and all that, but we bring them. But you see, we are widening what a basenter is. And we are now going to start smaller units in the basenter. So that everybody will be doing it. And everybody, we are going to start our fellowships. Okay, we'll call it our Macarius Fellowships, where everybody can do something. We have small time because some of you don't come for midweek service. You can't come. It's not possible. But you see, you can meet in an area somewhere and we can have a fellowship there. So that everybody can work. Everybody can be part of this so that we will not do the thing in a way. Otherwise it is not working. Yes. Yes, some of you cannot come. You can't come. Some people cannot come, but they can have a place 2 minutes away from where they are, where they can have. You see, go back to Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. I'm just introducing it because we are going to do that. We are going to have fellowship. Tell somebody fellowships. Fellowships. So the fellowships, a number of fellowships will make a basenter, because a basenter is a place a bus comes from. Look at that. He says that I will come down and talk with you. Now, first passage, and the Lord said unto Moses, 70 elders. Then, so you take people from the congregation, different, so that they will be at different places. So that they can all meet. So people can gather in different places. And then they can meet. They can share the word of God, and they can pray for a short time. How many of you think it's a powerful thing? Yes. So when you do that, there's fellowship
there's prayer, there's counsel, there's outreach everywhere. This is what everybody can attend, young and old, everybody can attend. One in your area. Tell somebody there's one coming to your area. Everybody, you can't tell me that you can't come for evening service because it's going to be in your area. Oh? If you are the only church member there, find somebody, win a soul to yourself and have one. Yes. Hello? If you are in the house where you are saying it's only you and your wife, you will do it. Tell somebody something good is coming. Can you feel it? Tell somebody, can you feel it? This is just the introduction. I'm just introducing it to you so that we'll launch into the real message and the real system in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are just where you are staying, there's no church member nearby and you are there with your wife, it's you and your wife, you have the fellowship. You will have to win others to it. Yes. You share a word. We'll call you for the message you preached at the fellowship. Yes. Yes. Tell somebody, yes. Yes. So everywhere. Look at your neighbor and say, look, we are not joking at all. Everywhere. 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 Tell somebody, everywhere. It's going to happen everywhere. Everywhere. Now the problem, the time that only few people are, you are going to kill some people. Why should it be that only few people? People are becoming, you know, older because the problems are a lot. They are handling too much. Everybody, you are a student. You can have a fellowship in your room. 2-3 people in there, you can have it. Hallelujah. So just to tell you that we are going to work. Everybody can do that. God will bless you. God will bless you. You see, when I became a pastor, you see, my pastoral ministry that you are seeing today, it started when I was teaching one person in a fellowship. I taught poison on the topic poison. You sit. The person is sitting there. I was sitting, you see, the campus at Legon Hall Chapel. In the Legon Hall Chapel, there are pews. So when you enter on the right, that's where prison's ministry was. And so that's what I had one member. He's called, I think it's in Noah. It's Noah. It was my mate. So one person like that. That's how it started. So that, no, God is training me. That's the pastor. No, it. That is the work. It was actually the work. I even remember the message I preached. Poison, the book Poison, taming your tongue. I said, one person, not two, one like this. It's even shameful. It's like, really, is it a church? Are you a pastor? Are you called? But not knowing that God is introducing me, I'm going to preach to hundreds and thousands one day. But I needed to preach. That was a calling. It was a real call. If I had not taken that seriously, I wouldn't be standing here today. When I went to start a church, it's like, only two people were sitting down. The same way. From campus, when I finished university and I went to start a church as a pastor, two people. One of them is Tete, and the other one is called Mr. Tay. Two of them, Tete and Mr. Tay. The T's. They were sitting down, Tete, Mr. Tay. Mr. Tay will always come to church. Tete, Mr. Tay. Tete is in America. I don't know where Mr. Tay is. Tete is not in America. My members, two. I said I'm a pastor. I'm a graduate, a pastor. And the two people are sitting there, I'm preaching to them. Today there's a cathedral in the place. There's a big cathedral with branches and with churches. Hey! I said there's a cathedral because of these two people that I preach to. Cathedral, not the church that we apart from the church that we have. There's a cathedral, there are actually two cathedrals in the town. Two cathedrals. One very big with an office block and another cathedral. So we are going to start. God is going to do something great. Amen. Lift your hand and say, I'm part of this work. Say, I am definitely. Ask for this one, dear. God, please add me. Lift your hand and say, God, please. This one, dear, I think you can add me in. Clap your hands for Jesus. Stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.